It's 6 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
U.S. sanctions target leading figures in Central African Republic. Nigeria opened its talks to free hundreds of abducted schoolgirls. I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington. President Obama has ordered sanctions against five top figures in Central African Republic, including former President Francois Bozizé and Salika rebel leader Michel Djotodja. The order says there is a breakdown of law and order in the country, along with the recruitment of child soldiers and atrocities against civilians. All U.S. assets belonging to the five CAR officials are frozen. The United Nations has imposed sanctions on Mr. Bozizé and two others. A Nigerian state governor says all the girls seen in a video released Monday by the Islamist group Boko Haram are students of the school attacked by militants last month. Borno State Governor Kashim Shettima said more than 50 of the girls in the video are identified by name, while the rest were identified as girls who were at the government girls' secondary school in the town of Chibok. On Tuesday, a Nigerian minister said the government is open to holding talks with Boko Haram. Former Nigerian government mediator Shehu Sani told British television Tuesday Nigeria's moral standing is at stake.
I believe that if the government is sincere and if the government will listen to the advice which I will give and the advice which other people also will give, and certainly we will get involved in freeing these girls. And each day and spent by these girls in captivity, the integrity of the government is at stake, and our moral standing as a nation is also under serious scrutiny and question.
The commander of U.S. forces in Africa, General David Rodriguez, held talks Tuesday with Nigerian civil and military officials, underscoring the growing U.S. commitment to finding the missing girls. Heather Murdoch reports.
This is U.S. Undersecretary of State for Civilian Security, Democracy, and Human Rights, Sarah Sewell, speaking Tuesday in Abuja.
The scourge of Boko Haram has continued to spread to neighboring regions, and it has become an issue that has really been highlighted in this recent incident as deserving greater international attention.
Some Nigerian officials say the kind of help it has gotten in the past from the international community has not always been helpful. However, Nigerian Minister of Foreign Affairs Aminu Wali says the world's help could be useful right now if it not only extends to the missing girls, but to the larger fight against Boko Haram.
The sudden influx now is more like a fire brigade situation, where there's a particular incident that the whole world wants to see taken care of. Now, okay, we'll take care of that. Maybe the world should may go back again and say business as usual. It is not. I would want to appeal to the international community. It is not.
He says the international community should be working on a long-term plan to contain Boko Haram. Heather Murdoch for VOA News, Abuja.
Mediators who brokered the latest ceasefire between the warring sides in South Sudan called on them to abide by it. Sayu Mesfin, head of the regional bloc IGAD, said the parties should and must negotiate and bring an end to the fighting. Both sides blame each other for the latest fighting. Meanwhile, thousands are sheltering at a UN base in Bentiu. Toby Lancer is a UN official in South Sudan.
There are lots and lots of people on the move at the moment. I think the call that we've made in the United Nations on both parties to the conflict is make sure that the integrity of the United Nations base is respected and make sure that the people inside the base are protected. And of course, the parties to the conflict, they have their fight, and we know about that. But they also need to make sure that they're not making mistakes, or certainly not targeting this base or any other UN installation.
Thousands have been killed in South Sudan, over a million displaced by 5 months of fighting. Former Liberian Defense Minister Jakonte Thomas Woweyu has been arrested in the United States on immigration charges. He's accused of perjury during his 2009 request for citizenship, saying he never engaged in political persecution. He served under President Charles Taylor, who is currently serving a 50-year sentence for war crimes. The indictment links Mr. Woweyu to a campaign to execute political opponents, force girls into sex slavery, and conscript boys as child soldiers. Prosecutors at the trial of South African runner Oscar Pistorius have called for him to undergo a mental evaluation after a defense witness said he had an anxiety disorder. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News. More can be found in red at our internet website, the address voanews.com.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Wednesday, May 14th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. The U.S. again says it is helping Nigeria find the abducted schoolgirls.
What I can guarantee you is that we will make every effort possible in order to help free those young women. And we are there helping to do that now. I'm not going to discuss what mechanism or methodology may or may not be used.
That's U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. There were more protests on Tuesday around the globe to demand the freedom of the kidnapped Nigerian schoolgirls. Nigeria's opposition party denies it is politicizing the abductions. And Uganda's parliament passes a bill criminalizing the willful transmission of HIV.
Every punishment should be given because this person is aware that he or she is infected and goes ahead intentionally to transmit to another person.
Peter Alepro is a member of Uganda's parliament. A plan to create an interim government in South Sudan is revealed. And the World Health Organization says binge drinking is harmful. Those stories plus Mark Oldman Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. A Nigerian state governor says all of the girls seen in a video released by Boko Haram are students of the school that was attacked by the militants. Borno State Governor Kashim Shettima says 54 girls in the video have been identified by name, while the rest were identified as girls who were at the government girls' secondary school in the town of Chibok. He spoke Tuesday after organizing a showing of the video for the Chibok community. Also on Tuesday, a Nigerian minister said the government is open to holding talks with Boko Haram. In Washington, Secretary of State John Kerry said on Tuesday, the U.S. is supporting Nigeria in its efforts to find the girls.
Our people are on the ground. We are proud to be contributing to the effort in order to help find these young women. And as everybody knows, there was recent evidence demonstrating that at least a certain group of them were together and in one place at a certain period of time. We don't know exactly when. What I can guarantee you is that we will make every effort possible in order to help free those young women. And we are there helping to do that now. I'm not going to discuss what mechanism or methodology may or may not be used in order to do so, except to say that we are committed to this effort, together with, I think, decent and civilized people all around the world who think this is a barbaric, horrendous act against the conscience of people everywhere. And so the president has all options with respect to the future. We're dealing with the government of another country. That's always got its diplomatic requirements.
That's U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry speaking Tuesday in Washington, D.C. Nigeria's main opposition Action Congress Party, the APC, says President Goodluck Jonathan's government has yet to engage opposition parties in its effort to come up with solutions to help resolve the country's security crisis. APC spokesman Lai Mohammed denies accusations that the opposition groups are seeking to use the tragedy of the abduction as a political tool to make the administration unpopular in the run-up to next year's general election. Mohammed tells reporter Peter Clotty that the APC has repeatedly urged the government to engage in dialogue with the militant group in a bid to resolve the security crisis.
You know, a lazy man will always blame his tool. What is the advantage that we are seeking to gain? There's nothing we have said in our press conference that we have not been saying over the years. We have been telling government that they are not handling the Boko Haram insurgency in a competent manner. That it is wrong to look at the Boko insurgency only as an insurgency that can be defeated by the military alone. We have always advocated for dialogue and negotiation. We've always told government that the economic situation and hardship in the northeastern state is a contributing factor to the insurgency, and that they should go out to introduce a Marshall Plan.
They are saying that the government has made effort, included everybody in a national dialogue to come up with trying to resolve the problem, and that all the APC does is to criticize the government without coming out with any pragmatic measure that will help resolve the country's problem.
Several yesterday, we gave them 10 suggestions. How can they come and say we are trying to seek cheap political advantage? No, but we must at the same time know who has failed. The PDP has failed. Nigerian government, we used to be so competent. We used to be invited to peacekeeping missions. We helped many countries in trouble. Today, they are corrupt and incompetent as it is our army to a solid state.
There are suggestions that all the criticisms should be a plan, engage the government in a pragmatic plan to help the government resolve the problem instead of accusations and criticisms.
As the government has come out with a pragmatic program as of today, when you say everybody should assist government, of course we are. And that's why we make those suggestions. We are not in charge of the military apparatus. If we are invited, we'll help. Have they invited us?
So you're saying the government has yet to contact the APC to seek suggestions to help resolve this problem of insecurity?
Absolutely. Look at us, we've not been approached. And yet, we are the first, even before this matter got to head, that there should be a national summit of all stakeholders on security. We made that, I think, immediately after the first Nyanya blast. Did we get any response from the federal government? What role have they assigned that we have not done?
Layo Mohammed is a spokesman for Nigeria's main opposition Action Congress Party. He spoke with reporter Peter Clotty from the capital, Abuja. Concern and outrage about the abduction of close to 300 Nigerian schoolgirls by the militant group Boko Haram is growing worldwide. Protests demanding action to free the girls have taken place in several cities, mostly recently in Paris on Tuesday. The kidnappings are an example of the violence permeating Nigeria, Africa's most populous country, which is largely divided by religion and social and economic differences. Zlatika Hoke reports that Nigerians are increasingly frustrated with the government's inability to protect them from terrorists.
Former French First Ladies Carla Bruni Sarkozy and Valérie Trierweiler were among the demonstrators in Paris demanding the release of the Nigerian girls and protection for women worldwide. Film director Lisa Azuelos organized the rally.
Je suis enfin heureuse.
I'm glad to see that people across the globe are mobilizing. That for me is that women's rights are equal to men's rights worldwide, that there is no difference, that you can't take small girls from their school, from their families, to marry them off at 8 years old, 9 years old. It is legalizing rape with impunity. It is terrible.
Pour les marier à 8 ans.
French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius condemned Boko Haram during his visit to Washington.
You have heard maybe this horrible video by the chief of Boko Haram saying and laughing at it, that it will use the young girls as slaves, and that he was considering that this 9 years old girl was to be his wife.
A week ago, Boko Haram fighters attacked the village of Gamborungala near the border with Cameroon. More than 120 people were killed and many others were wounded. A local trader questions why there has been no government support for the terrorized community.
We don't have food or anything to do now but buy common bread to eat from Cameroon at exorbitant prices. We are not happy that the soldiers who are supposed to protect us were nowhere to be found when we needed their protection.
Many Nigerians have crossed the border into Cameroon because they no longer believe the government can protect them. In Nigeria's largest city, Lagos, many express hope that support from the United States, Britain, China, and other countries will help Nigerian authorities find the girls. Student Wurala Malik says Boko Haram's leader Abu Bakr Shekau knows that it will.
I think he's scared already. I think, and why I feel is that the federal government should not succumb to his negotiations, because that act of even wanting to trade the girls is it shows he's scared.
Meanwhile, authorities in Nigeria are still looking for the chief perpetrators of last month's explosion at a bus station that killed 74 people and injured more than 200 others. Boko Haram has claimed responsibility for that attack, as well as many others in the past 5 years. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
It's Wednesday morning, May 14th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington, and please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is 16 minutes past the hour. A group of former government officials, think tank analysts and lawyers have crafted a plan for what South Sudan's interim government could look like. They say they have already received support for their idea from mediators at the ongoing peace talks in Addis Ababa. Andrew Green has the story for VOA from Juba.
The draft proposal, released over the weekend by the Development Policy Forum, calls for a complete government overhaul. It would include a 5-person presidency and 21 different cabinet positions. Dr. Lual A. Dang is the managing director of the Ebony Center for Strategic Studies, a local think tank that manages the policy forum. He says they were inspired by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry's call earlier this month for President Salva Kiir to strongly consider an interim government.
We determine the objectives, deliverables, outputs, and then the activities required. And then we work backward and see, okay, these are what is required for an interim. Then what would be the size? We felt that comfortably you need 18 ministries, plus a prime minister and 2 deputies. So you have 21.
Deng says these would be the critical positions and could be staffed by technocrats who would address the country's gaping needs, including conducting a census, getting voters registered, and finalizing a new constitution. He says they would also work on improved service delivery and job creation. The collegial presidency would focus on promoting social cohesion, and Deng says the interim government might eliminate the legislature entirely, since the main focus would be on implementing existing legislation, not passing new laws. The 3-year interim period would end with national elections. He says it is not his job to answer the big question of whether President Salva Kiir or rebel leader Riek Machar will play a role in the new government.
By definition, if you say it's a collegial presidency composed of 5, then maybe have we excluded President Salva, Riek Machar? That one need to be looked at.
Deng says they have shown a copy of the proposal to Kenyan General Lazaro Sambuayo, who is helping to mediate the ongoing Addis Ababa talks. Deng says he believes President Kiir and Machar might also have seen copies. He says the proposal might have been the origin for President Kiir's statements over the weekend that national elections will be postponed by 2 or 3 years. For VOA News, I am Andrew Green in Juba.
Uganda lawmakers have passed a bill criminalizing the willful transmission of HIV, which civil society groups say will aggravate the stigma of the virus and hamper efforts to fight AIDS. Hilary Hewler has more for VOA from Kampala.
The bill, which the Ugandan parliament approved on Tuesday, imposes tough jail sentences of up to 10 years for those found guilty of willful and intentional transmission of HIV. It also requires that pregnant women and their partners get tested for the virus. Member of Parliament Peter Alepper told local television last week that people who knowingly transmit HIV to others are dangerous.
Every punishment should be given because this person is aware that he or she is infected and goes ahead intentionally to transmit to another person. And that's a very dangerous person that can easily confuse the whole community and finish people.
But health workers and civil society groups have spoken out against the bill, saying it will do nothing to curb Uganda's rising infection rate. Many argue the bill will further stigmatize people who are HIV positive. Margaret Happy, of the National Forum of People Living with HIV/AIDS Networks in Uganda, says that the risk of criminalization is also likely to keep people from getting tested.
It instills fear in both women and men, because many people will not go for HIV testing then. Because if one goes for HIV testing, then at one point he or she will be caught up by this bill. And yet HIV testing is an entry point to accessing other HIV prevention services.
This new law was passed months after Uganda enacted a tough law that imposes life sentences in prison for committing some homosexual acts. In recent years, a number of other African countries have passed laws against transmitting HIV, including Kenya, Tanzania, and Zimbabwe. Other countries also have such laws, and some American states have them. Other countries, including some European nations, have prosecuted people for transmitting HIV under other laws against harming others. The Ugandan bill needs President Yoweri Museveni's signature to become law. Hilary Hewler for VOA News, Kampala.
The World Health Organization is urging nations to take action to reduce the harmful effects of alcohol, which is said is killing 3.3 million people each year. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The World Health Organization reports the harmful use of alcohol is responsible for 6% of all deaths around the world. That is one death every 10 seconds. Besides being addictive, the report says alcohol consumption increases the risk of developing more than 200 diseases, including liver cirrhosis and some cancers. For the first time, the WHO says the harmful use of alcohol makes people more susceptible to infectious diseases such as tuberculosis, pneumonia, and HIV. WHO Mental Health and Substance Abuse Director Shekhar Saxena says the organization is concerned about drinking among young adults between ages 15 and 19, and particularly by binge drinking, heavy episodic drinking.
The report concludes that worldwide, 16% of drinkers over the age of 15 engage in binge drinking, which is much more harmful than other kind of drinking, which causes the most harm in terms of accidents, self-harm, and harm to others. High-income countries have the highest alcohol per capita consumption and also the highest prevalence of binge drinking.
The report notes, on average, every person aged 15 or older drinks 6.2 liters of alcohol per year. But since less than 50% of the population drinks alcohol, those who do consume, on average, 17 liters of pure alcohol a year. The report warns drinking is increasing among women, and this is of concern as they are more vulnerable to some alcohol-related health conditions than men. The highest rates of mortality are found in Europe, followed by the West Pacific and then the Americas region. Globally, the report finds Europe is the region with the highest alcohol consumption, particularly in central and eastern parts, followed by the Americas and Africa. It says Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova, and some neighboring countries have very high levels of consumption and binge drinking. The World Health Organization is urging countries to strengthen measures to protect people from the harmful effects of alcohol abuse. These include increasing taxes on alcohol, raising the drinking age limit, and regulating the marketing of alcoholic beverages. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Very good Wednesday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we focus on athletics. Nigeria's Africa Youth 100-meter champion Divine Oduduru clocked 10.39 seconds to maintain his winning form at the Athletics Federation of Nigeria Golden League meeting in Akure, Ondo State, Southwest Nigeria. Patience Okon won women's 400 meters in 52.20 seconds. On the infield, former Africa Junior champion Nkechi Nchime triumphed in women's a short put with a heave of 14.86 meters. Daramola Feisayo won the women's hammer with a throw of 58.56 meters, while Nigerian Police and National Security and Civil Defense Corps won the men's and women's 4x100-meter relays in 39.44 seconds and 45.72 seconds, respectively. Meanwhile, All Africa Games bronze medalist Kurt Kuto is Mozambique's best hope for a medal at the Africa Senior Athletics Championships in Marrakech, Morocco, in August. He confirmed confirmed his fitness with a clear win in 400-meter hurdles in 49.56 seconds at the South Africa Open Athletics Championships in Tlokwe, Kuto admits there is room for improvement.
Today's race was, time-wise, it was good. Technically, a bit shaky over the last few hurdles. But nevertheless, like you said, Mark, sub-50. The last time I ran a sub-50 was in 2012. The whole of last year I was injured, so I'm glad to be back amongst the quick times.
Technically, you had that problem at the Africa Championships when you were a medal contender. We've now got another African Championships in Morocco this time. What are you going to do around this technical thing? Because by your own admission, there are certain technical areas you need to put right.
Back in 2012, I'm not going to say they tripped me, but the eventual winner hit his hurdle and he came in my lane, and that's when I hit his hurdle and I fell. Now that African champs are back this year and it's a World Cup year, I think we just have to train harder and make sure we go for gold there.
Now remember that since Maria Mutola retired, you are the one holding the mantle of Mozambican athletes. You're the only medalist at the All Africa Games when it was in Maputo. Do you think that you can rise to the occasion, at least for Mozambique, come the Africa Championships?
I have to rise to the occasion, Mark. Let me put it to you this way. The pressure will always be there. I have big shoes to fill. I mean, Maria Mutola is one of a kind. She's a legend in athletics in Mozambique, in the entire world, and I just have to make sure I keep putting Mozambique on the map.
That was Kurt Kuto, Mozambique's All-Africa Games 400-meter hurdles bronze medalist, speaking in Tlokwe, Northwest Province, South Africa. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Omer in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. Our listener mail for this Wednesday morning, May 14th.
I have studied the video posted in the internet on the adopted Chibok girl as an expert on security and a trained hand on terror activities and have my doubts. I hereby warn the federal government of Nigeria to be very careful in dealing with Boko Haram so as not to be messed up eventually. Intelligence gathering must be used extensively to deal with this issue. I am
Oketubo Ajaka. We thank you, listener, for your comment, and please send your viewpoints to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com. You can also call us in the United States at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us a message. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. A Nigeria state governor says all of the girls seen in a video released by Boko Haram are students of the school that was attacked by the militants. Borno state governor Kashim Shettima says 54 girls in the video have been identified by name, while the rest were identified as girls who were at girls' secondary school in the town of Chibok. He spoke Tuesday after organizing a showing of the video for the Chibok community. Meanwhile, in Washington, State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki said the U.S. is supporting Nigeria in its effort to find the girls. Prosecutors at the trial of South African runner Oscar Pistorius have called for help to undergo a mental evaluation after a defense witness said he had an anxiety disorder. If granted by the court, the request for a 30-day psychiatric evaluation could delay Pistorius's murder trial. The judge is expected to rule on the request today, Wednesday. That's it for this Wednesday, May 14th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Strike, as well as post editor Mark Oman, along with our engineer Jimmy Koch, I'm James Butt in Washington, wishing every one of you in Africa a very good day.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story.
putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz and 15580 kilohertz. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.